I'm excited to be up here to have an opportunity to speak to you guys this morning. This is my second time in this series, which doesn't get to happen very often, but the summertime, you know, I'm excited to be up here. And not only is today the last Sunday before September. Is anyone kind of sad about summer going away? Anybody looking forward to the fall? Just like so excited? Some people are. There's good things that come with the fall. Anyone excited for football season? That's kind of like my thing. Like, I get so excited that football season is coming. Fishing gets pretty good in the fall. I caught a salmon on my fly rod yesterday, so I was very proud of myself. I'm waiting for Mike to get back into service. I hope to make him proud. I sent him a picture, so. So today's the last Sunday before September and the fall, but it's also the last Sunday in this series that we've spent so much time in this summer, For Heaven's Sake. This summer, we've spent time looking forward toward the new earth and what it'll be like. We've spent time looking forward and looking at our resurrected bodies. We've spent time looking at what our relationships will be like one day. We've even talked about animals and pets. Will they be there? What will they be like? We've answered questions like, what will the weather in heaven be like? Will there be space? Will there be time? We've talked about what it would look like to reign with Christ in heaven and so much more. And as we spent time this summer talking about all this, I hope that this series is something that has impacted and brought change to the way we live and view the world around us as we anticipate the resurrection of all things. But what we do not want the takeaway to be is that we find ourselves looking toward heaven so much that we start to ignore and think the life that we live right now does not matter. But the opposite is not right either. We don't want to be so focused on this life that we don't anticipate and wonder what heaven will be like. There's two categories that some of us could fall into. The first one is that this life is all that matters. And when we find ourselves in that category, it can actually start to us living a life searching for comfort, searching for money, searching for status, searching for experiences. But then there's the second category where we find ourselves saying, this life does not matter because guess what? Heaven is coming. And when we find ourselves in that place, it can actually lead to us actually disengaging from the world, not caring about people, just simply waiting for what's better and what's next. Many of us find ourselves in these two categories, but a biblical viewpoint would actually reject both of these categories. And that's why in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, Paul can say this. He says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. He's telling us to look forward to heaven. Set your mind on heaven, not on the things of this earth. But then he spends the rest of the chapter discussing things like how to treat your spouse, how to treat your kids, how to treat the people around you, how to treat your church, how to treat your enemies. He talks about your words, your money, your actions, your relationships. This is what I'm seeing here. When Paul sets his mind on things above, when he sets his mind on eternity and not of things of this world, it actually leads to earthly action. We're not looking to eternity to escape the now or the life we live. We're looking towards eternity to give direction and shape what we do now. This is a message today kind of about balance. How do we look towards heaven with wonder and excitement, but also recognize the importance of the life Jesus has called us to right now? This is a little off topic, but whenever I think about this idea of balance, I can't help but think of something called a power balance bracelet. Does anybody in here know what a power balance bracelet is? Any like 13-year-old boys in 2013 would know what I'm talking about, okay? Nobody in here knows what this is? Nobody, okay? I'm the only one that fell for this trick, okay? Was that Chad? No, he doesn't know. Okay, let me tell you something. A power balance bracelet kind of became this thing in like the early 2010s. And somehow like professional athletes were wearing it, like NBA players, NHL players. And it was this weird bracelet that was supposed to give you better balance. And I remember when I was 13 years old in Mall of America in Minnesota, they were selling them at this kiosk. And the guy was trying to sell me them, and he talked to me about how I don't have one on right now. He said, you don't have one of these bracelets on, so your balance is going to be all right. And he actually, like, shoved me really hard, and I was, like, 13. And then he put the bracelet on me, and then he shoved me really light, and I totally fell for it. And I bought, like, four of these bracelets, and I was like, push me. I was telling everyone to push me. Like, I thought I was so sturdy. And you kind of fall for it. So when I think about balance, I can't help but think of these bracelets that tricked me when I was younger. This idea of looking towards heaven, being excited, but not letting it ruin the moment now. It almost reminds me of the week before vacation. I'm one of those people that I can kind of be guilty of like allowing my 1 week of vacation turn into 2 weeks of vacation, because before the week I go on vacation, I'm so excited that I can't focus or get anything done. I know some of you probably relate to this. You kind of start to check out a little early, thinking about what's to come. And we know that it's wrong to check out early. It's wrong to be so excited of what's coming that you don't focus on the job at hand. And at the same time, it's wrong to not look ahead at all because you're so focused on the job that you're working. And then you finally get to the holidays that you booked and you have no plan, no idea what you're doing, and you end up wasting it. The perfect balance is looking forward to vacation and holidays with excitement and allowing that excitement to change what you do in the moment. Change how you work. How do you work hard so things are okay when you're gone? How do you plan and prepare for that time away? This balance that about vacation is so important with our view of heaven. How do we leave this series that we've spent time in this summer looking forward to heaven with excitement and allowing that excitement to change what we do now in preparation for what's to come? A great view of eternity does not make us care less about today. It teaches us how to make today matter. Which brings me to my first point today. My first point is simply that heaven is worth looking forward to. We should have this longing for heaven. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4, the whole picture of the verse I talked about earlier, it says this: "Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." Paul is not shy in this text or any other text about his longing for heaven, for his excitement for being there. He says we should be looking forward to it. We see this other places in Scripture. In Hebrews 11, verses 13 to 16, there's this moment where it describes these heroes of faith who are longing for a better country, who are longing for a heavenly place. Those around us who know that we're followers of Jesus are watching us. And they'll actually notice our longing for another place. They'll notice our excitement for heaven and the hope that that brings us. We talk to the youth students often about how your friends are watching you. Your friends do notice what you do. Your friends will notice if you live with a different hope and a different purpose because you're longing for a better place for eternity. And they kind of always roll their eyes when we say that, like as if no one's watching them. And there was one small group night where the girls were in a room and there was a new girl who showed up for the first time and she hadn't been to youth before. And I kind of talked about this idea of being a witness for Christ. And in small groups, one of the girls in there, who was her first time at youth, she told the other girls, she said, "I've been wanting to come to youth group for a year, but I was nervous. And I knew you four girls went, so I've been watching you for a year to see how you acted, to see how you behaved, to see if you would kind of be people that would be like welcoming and nice to me when I show up to youth." And it was kind of a wake-up call for the girls because they thought, people really are watching me. Even if I don't ask for it, I am a witness of Christ. And when there's a noticeable difference in our lives, when we have this hope, this peace that comes in our longing for heaven, for our true home, it stands out and people notice that there's something different about us. That's one of the great things about being a Christian. We get to live this life knowing that we are going somewhere great, somewhere better. We get to live with this hope for an amazing future, something ahead that is much better than this world could ever offer. In the fall, on one of our youth nights, Pastor Garrett preached at youth, and he spoke about this idea of a holy homesickness that we all have. Because we know that this world that we live in now, presently, is not our home, that our home is in heaven with Jesus, that we have this longing, this holy homesickness for where we're meant to be. And this place is worth being homesick for. It's worth looking forward to. It's worth being excited about. And we know that as we've talked about it lots this summer. I love this simple quote from Randy Alcorn in the book Heaven. This is kind of the book that's like kind of inspired this series. We've looked to it lots. You can get it in our resource center. But there's a quote in this book that I love by Randy Alcorn. It's so simple, and it just says, "Heaven, the new earth, not the present one, is my home." And it is a great home. We've talked about it this summer. This is this physical place, this home, with many of the things we love from this life, but without sin, pain, and hurt. We'll eat food, enjoy creation, explore, be in relationship with people, be free from pain and evil. It's going to be this place that is so exciting. And this is our home. I get excited about it. Alcorn talks about a lot of things in this book. He even speculates and talks about how we're going to play sports in heaven one day. This is a place that's exciting about and worth looking forward to. Let me read this quote to you from his book. He says, "Just as we look forward to cultural endeavors such as art, drama, and music on the new earth, we can assume that we'll also enjoy sports there too. According to the principle of continuity, we should expect a new earth to be characterized by familiar, earthly, though uncorrupted, things." Though uncorrupted is the nice part here, because I like to think about playing sports without feeling sore for the next week. This sounds pretty nice to me. This sounds like a place that's worth looking forward to. And Alcorn affirms that idea by telling us to do something in this book and in some of his other books. He talks about this idea to live for the line. To live for the line. This was one of the illustrations that Pastor Garrett used when he preached at youth last fall. He brought this massive long rope into the room, and he had one of the teens hold it here, and then the teens lined up and they held the rope, and it went around the room here, around the back again, and then out that room. And at the very start of the rope, he painted the first nub, and he talked about how that little nub, that is our life here on earth. And sometimes we get so caught up and so focused on this, and we forget the picture of life on earth is so small compared to life in heaven, the life, the home that we're going to live. And the students got excited thinking about, well, look how small this is. And this is where all my worry, my anxiety, like this is where all the hard things are, but this long life that I get to live, that is going to be amazing. When Alcorn talks about this idea of living for the line, he says, live for the line and not for the dot, meaning live for things above. Have your eyes set on things above. Don't live for worldly things. Get excited and look forward to the line. But it's important to recognize the wording Alcorn uses. When he says, live for the line, that still implies that there is living and things to be done in the dot. He does not say, look at the line and ignore the dot, get excited for what's to come. That's all that matters. This is the importance of looking forward to heaven and it being more than just excitement. But it is excitement. It's the hope that gives us, because if we don't have this better place to look forward to, if we don't have this line to give us perspective and we only focus on the dot, we can become so desperate to make that dot a better place because we don't have any hope. And we start to look for happiness in the worldly things. Can money make me happy? Can a career make me happy? Success, a certain house, experiences, sinful activity, can these things make me happy? Even doing good things can kind of become bad when we lose sight of eternity. You know, I think about our Wednesday night youth program, Tuesday night youth program. It's a great thing that we do it, but even when we lose sight of eternity, the big picture, sometimes our heart can get in the wrong place. When we lose sight of eternity, our eyes can get stuck on worldly things like focusing on the numbers or the flashiness, and we lose sight of what really matters, spiritual growth, discipleship, helping these students know Jesus. When we know what we're looking forward to, it reminds us that worldly things that lead us down the wrong path are just not worth it. Many of you know Sam Biro. Lauren announced already that last week he went to go be with the Lord. And when I visited him in the hospital, I asked for some advice, and he said something that I think is so helpful for us today. He told me, do not live as close to the world as possible while still being with Jesus. Live as close to Jesus as possible while still being in the world. And I love that last part, while still being in this world. That's such an important part of this quote. This brings me to my second point. Do not minimize the dot. Do not minimize the dot. 1 Corinthians 15 spends lots of time discussing resurrection and looking forward and being excited about heaven. And in verse 58, it says this, therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. And one of our college professors always said, when there is a therefore in Scripture, ask what it is therefore. And this chapter, it's focusing on resurrection, and then we get the therefore. So he's saying, because resurrection is real and physical, your work today matters. Because eternity is something that is real and we can look forward to, today matters so much. The work you do for the Lord is not in vain. Paul is not letting us know here that heaven is coming so we can take a deep breath, relax, stop working, stop worrying. He's letting us know that heaven is coming so we are motivated to work more. New creation does not make this life meaningless. It gives this life more weight. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 to 18 says this. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. He's not saying what we do here does not matter. He's saying it actually matters a lot. It matters so much in light of what lasts and moves on to eternity. And it kind of reminds us that this hard work we're doing is worth it. The uncomfortable things we're doing is worth it. That person you've been praying for so long, but you just don't see any change, keep praying for them. It's worth it. That friend that you've invited to church so many times, but they just won't come. Be patient. Keep caring for that person. The difficult person that you've chose to keep loving over the years, don't stop. Keep loving them. The volunteer hours you give, it's worth it. The money you give, the person you forgave when it was hard, getting out of your comfort zone and telling someone about Jesus, these things are all worth it. The work that you do for the Lord is not in vain. As the youth pastor of this church, let me tell you something that you probably already know. Sometimes your kids are not always perfect. Sometimes they're hard, but guess what? It's worth it because the work we do is not in vain. There have been youth students in the past that have just been so difficult and make things so hard for us. But we keep loving, we keep being patient, we keep teaching. And when you finally have that moment where it kind of clicks for them, where you're reminded how worth it really is to see that student have that moment with Jesus. There's even been baptisms this year. Youth students that got baptized this year, and we can think back to, man, they were difficult for us. But that moment of celebration, that moment of realizing this worked, they gave their life to Jesus. Our work is not in vain. It is so worth it. It's all worth it because we're investing into eternity. And investing into eternity, that's what it means to live for the line. Which brings me to my third point. Look forward to eternity so we know what to do today. If my first point was that heaven is worth looking forward to, and my second point was that today matters, our last point connects them. Eternity gives today direction. To live for the line means to invest into eternity. Alcorn kind of ties these two ideas together in another one of his books called The Treasure Principle, which is a book that has really helped me a lot. I love this book. It's very small, so it's nice and easy to read. We do have it in our resource center as well. And he kind of connects these two ideas of longing for heaven and investing into heaven, investing into eternity. And we see Jesus kind of say this as well in Matthew chapter 6, verse 20. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moss and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Jesus tells us to store our treasures in heaven. Do not store up treasures here on earth, but somewhere that lasts. Alcorn famously says, you can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. And as we look forward to heaven, it reveals to us what to do now. It reveals to us the importance of living for the line, not for living for worldly things now. Which brings us to this idea of investing into heaven. What do I do with my money? What do I do with my time? What do I do with the people around me? How do I invest my money, invest my time, invest into people that goes somewhere that lasts, that goes to the new resurrected earth? Invest in people because they can be in our eternal new home with us. When we have this eternal perspective, your neighbor is not just your neighbor anymore. And I'm sure some of you have difficult neighbors, but it becomes a soul that you care about, that you want to see in heaven one day. Your coworker is not just your coworker anymore. You want to invest into that person because you want to see them in heaven one day. That tough teenager on an e-bike is not just trouble anymore. And I know those e-bikes are trouble in town. Those teenagers are souls that can be eternal. that can be won for the Lord. I want to invest in things that live on. Randy Alcorn, in the book Treasure Principles, he tells this amazing story of his trip to Egypt. And he talks about the contrast between visiting two different places in one day, visiting two different graves in one day. And the first place he visited was a grave for someone named William Borden. William Borden was a young guy who he was born into lots of money, and he went to this fancy law school, and he kind of had life set up for him. And he decided that he wanted to live for the line, that he wanted to live for Jesus, live for the kingdom. So he started giving money away. He started traveling. He became a missionary, traveling around the world, giving away hundreds of thousands of dollars. And at the age of 25, he passed away in Egypt on a missions trip. And they visited his grave, and his grave was kind of dusty and had grass grown over it, and it was kind of hidden, but they went and found it and paid their respects. And then right after that, they left William Borden's grave and they went and visited King Tut's tomb. And King Tut's tomb is this lavish place full of treasures and gold. And I want to just read you what he says in the book. He says, "I was struck by the contrast between the two graves. Borden's was obscure, dusty, hidden, littered with garbage. Tut's tomb was glittered with unimaginable wealth. Yet where are these two men now? One who lived in opulence and called himself king is in the misery of a Christless eternity. The other, who lived a modest life in service of the one true king, is enjoying everlasting reward in his Lord's presence. Tut's life was tragic because of an awful truth discovered too late. He could not take his treasures with him. Borden's life was triumphant because instead of leaving his treasures behind, he sent them on ahead." I just love this idea, like, live for the line now. Work hard now, because one day we will enjoy our heavenly rewards. And there's so many different theories and speculation on heavenly rewards, and I encourage you to read this book, Heaven, by Randy Alcorn. He talks about this topic lots, and he's much smarter than I am. But one thing I do know for me is that souls and people in heaven are going to be a great reward. Seeing someone you knew here on earth in heaven, that's going to be a great reward. One of my favorite priorities that we have had as a church over the last couple of years is this idea of praying for 500 missionaries to be sent to the Comox Valley. We've kind of talked about this idea lots, and this idea is not actually about 500 new people moving to the Comox Valley. I know some of you guys don't want more people moving here, but it's not about new people moving to the Comox Valley. It's about 500 people that are already a part of CPC that call this church home, accepting the call that you are a missionary in this town, that you have a responsibility, that you should be investing into eternity by caring for people, by loving people, by spending time with people, by reaching out to people, by reaching out to the lost. That's our call while we're here on earth, to live for the line, to not minimize the dot, is to be here in this earth, to look forward to eternity, to be excited about it and say, you know what, I am excited about it, but because of how great it's going to be there, it's worth the investment here. It's worth the hard work here. It's worth the stuff I'm doing here. It's worth trying to bring as many people with me to heaven as possible. And our church has many things to help us with this. One of the four things that our church calls every single person to is gospel intentionality together. If you're in the central lobby, we have that beautiful picture on the wall, and there's four things that we're all called to, and one of them is gospel intentionality together. I know that's kind of a funny word, but it's this idea to work together. That if we are 500 missionaries in the Comox Valley trying to reach people because we know what eternity is going to be like and we want people to be there with us, then we want to reach the lost. And sometimes it's hard to do it on our own. So this idea of doing gospel, being intentional and doing it together, it's this idea of looking around and saying, you know what, me and my three Christian friends, who am I going to pick on? We already play disc golf together every week. I'm picking on the disc golfers in the room. We already play disc golf every week. Why would we not invite one of our friends who we know doesn't know Jesus? And then all of a sudden, we're doing gospel intentionality together. We're bringing this person who doesn't know Jesus into something we do together. And all of a sudden, he's now surrounded by three Christian people who can care for him, who can love him, who can maybe even change his perspective or idea of what a Christian is like. And that can lead to conversation, and that can lead to that soul, that person, being in heaven for eternity one day. That stuff is worth it. And I know it's hard. But it's worth it to see that person in heaven one day. Last time I preached, I kind of closed the message by mentioning the man who was in the hospital, and Pastor Mike went to go visit him, and Pastor Mike had every intention and every expectation that they were going to go and pray this man into the Lord, that he was going to go sit with this man in the hospital and just pray, Lord, take him. Lord, he's excited to be with you. And I shared with you that this was a guy that he had every right to go and be with Jesus. He had served the Lord for so long. He had been a pastor for so long. He'd been faithful for so long. He had every right to just say, pray for me to go be with Jesus. I'm so excited to go be in eternity, to go be in heaven. But that's not what he asked for. When Pastor Mike sat with him, he actually asked for a prayer of healing because he had a neighbor that didn't know Jesus yet. And he needed to go home and help that neighbor know Jesus. And that man that Mike prayed for was Sam Bureau, who passed away last week. And I just think this is the best example that I can think of what it looks like to live for the line. To actually look towards heaven and not in like a that's nice one day, but it's close for him at that time. He knew that it was close, and but he also knew not to minimize the dot, not to minimize the important work that is to be done here in this life before we get to go enjoy heaven and eternity forever. He knew heaven was close for him, but he thought, while I'm here now, how do I live for the line? What do I have to do now, Jesus? How do I bring someone else with me? And I think that neighbor would be quite the heavenly reward for Sam. I think for Sam, to see his neighbor, to see that soul, to see that person in heaven one day would be quite the heavenly reward. There are neighbors, there are friends, there are people that need us to have this mentality, that need us to have this heart. To say, yeah, I'm excited, but that guy's got to come with me. She's got to come with me. They need to know about Jesus. They need to have the hope and peace and faith that this hard life, the things that come, is not all that there is. That there actually is a better place. That Jesus actually is going to come and remove sin once and for all. That we get to hold on to that. People need to know that. So yes, look forward to heaven. Get excited about it. Long for it. But don't lose sight that we're here with a mission, and Jesus has called us, each and every one of us, to our own responsibilities. The Great Commission in Matthew, Jesus says, go and make disciples. I love that Lauren talked about Jesus is waiting because he wants as many people to be there as possible. We are his hands and feet. We have a responsibility to do here on this world. So live for the line, but don't minimize the dot. I want to pray for us today, and as we are wrapping up our series here, I would actually love to give a moment or two for us to kind of group up in two or three. So I'm going to pray for us, then we're going to get in groups of two or three today. And I would love for you guys, in your groups of two or three, share something that stood out, impacted you, share your takeaway from this series. We've kind of spent the whole summer talking about this idea of looking towards eternity, this series for heaven's sake. So share your takeaway, share the thing that impacted your heart. And then would you pray like an empowering prayer over the people you grew up with? Pray for them that when they leave church today, they understand that we got to live for the line. That our view of eternity changes what we do now, that we got to invest in eternity, that we got to bring people with us. And we could all use a prayer of empowerment. I know that. I know I can as well. So let's do that. Let me pray for you, then we'll get into groups of two or three. Share your takeaway from this series and pray an empowerment prayer over each other. And then we will close and respond with a song of worship. Jesus, I thank you for today. I thank you for a Sunday where we can gather together, where we can be encouraged by your word, where we can worship, where we can be in your presence, where we can encourage and be with each other. And Jesus, I just thank you for this series that we've been able to spend time in this summer. I thank you for the opportunity for us to learn about our home, learn about this place that you are preparing for us, Lord, that we get to look forward to it, that we get to be excited about it, that we get to be just in wonder and awe of this place that you're preparing. And Jesus, I thank you for this morning. Jesus, would you be with us as we think about this idea of, yeah, Jesus, I'm excited about heaven, but Lord, there's stuff to do right now. And Jesus, I just pray over these people. Jesus, would you just be with them as they group up, as they as they think about, God, what do you want to put on my heart from this series? What is my takeaway, Jesus? What can I do? What are you calling me to? Jesus, we love you and we need you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.